Computing a Deal. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. A lot of computer system companies are still trying to recover from the dot-com bust. The current recession has spurred a wave of industry consolidations. The latest possibility is an IBM takeover of Sun Microsystems. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
IBM's acquisition of Sun Microsystems would be a natural fit. Analysts say there's a synergy between the two companies. Both offer products that don't rely on Microsoft Windows, and both back open-source software systems. Richie Jennings is an analyst at Ferris Research.
You know, there's a lot of commonality between the way IBM looks at the world and the way Sun looks at the world. You know, on the downside, there's going to be some pains for IBM to absorb Sun.
That pain would start with a cash outlay. The Wall Street Journal reports that IBM would pay more than $6.5 billion for Sun. That would be more than a 100% premium over Sun's latest stock price. But the deal could bolster IBM's computer server products against competitors and help it become a one-stop shop for computer hardware or software services. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Sun Microsystems shares are up 65% in pre-market trading. Deflation fears were calmed a bit this morning. The government just reported its consumer price index rose 0.4% last month. That's the biggest monthly rise in 7 months. European shares have turned mostly lower. In Asia, major markets closed higher today. The Dow closed up 179 points yesterday to 73.96, a gain of nearly 2.5%. AIG CEO Edward Liddy will pull up a chair today at a congressional witness table. He'll be answering questions about the millions of dollars in bonuses the insurance company paid out after taking $170 billion in government money. China doesn't want Coca-Cola's money. The country rejected Coke's $2.5 billion bid today for a major Chinese juice maker. Talk of the deal stirred nationalist opposition. Meanwhile, a delegation of 35 Chinese businesses is meeting in London this week to talk about setting up shop in the British capital. London's worried the fallout from the economic crisis could hinder its reputation as a global business center. Christopher Worth has that.
London's commercial property has become much more affordable, and there are a lot of highly qualified people desperate to find work, two factors that have become selling points. Jeff Wu of the Beijing-based Vance Info Technologies, a member of the delegation, says London is a good starting point for breaking into the European market.
The many technology firms based in Europe has been our customers and could be our potential customers in the future as well.
Wu's company will base their European headquarters in the British capital now that the city is offering free office space for a year and access to advisors to help sort out the details of doing business abroad. Mark Davies, who is hosting the delegation, says Chinese investors are in a better position than most.
They're coming from a home market, which of all the world's economies is probably the one still with growth potential.
London already receives more investment from China than any other European city. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet. American Idol announces its final 10 tonight. The company is also launching a line of trading cards. You can trade Carrie Underwood for William Hung, for instance. A thumbs up from Simon Cowell, though, isn't the only way to launch a career in pop music. As Marketplace's Eve Trow reports, it's time to register for American Pop 101.
Ah, the Supremes' Baby Love.
Baby love, my baby.
The man who wrote that and 53 more number one hits is Lamont Dozier, a Motown legend. So what was his training?
Oh, God, none at all. No classical training. I've been self-taught.
Dozier took lessons in the school of life. He eavesdropped at his grandma's beauty shop.
And I hear one of the girls, and she's heartbroken about some guy come to find out he was a cad. I would write down these little ideas. They're true-to-life stories.
Pay attention. That's advice Professor Lamont Dozier might give a songwriting class this fall at the University of Southern California. It's the first university to offer a bachelor's degree in popular music performance.
Many schools have played around with this, but been afraid to really call it what it is, American popular music.
That's Robert Cudieta, dean of USC's Thornton School of Music. He says it's time pop joined the canon. It's a big part of music and the music market. After all, there's not much demand for a concert bassoonist.
You'd be better off running for the U.S. Senate, because at least there's 100 of those jobs.
And students, spending more than $30,000 a year for tuition, can study the music that interests them.
We can approach it with the same discipline, the same rigor, as somebody studying a classical instrument.
That's USC Associate Dean Chris Sampson. His BA is in classical guitar, but he's really a rock drummer. The 20 students in the pop program Sampson helped design will study music, but they'll also learn to book tours, read contracts, and market their work.
That's the nature of the profession. It's fundamentally entrepreneurial.
17-year-old James Gallup auditioned for USC this year.
Little world slipped through my hand.
He's an ambitious singer-songwriter, but wants more options than music.
At a school like this, you can get all of your academic needs as well as your musical needs.
If he doesn't get into the popular music program, Gallup says he'll study English. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Troeh for Marketplace.
To share this story or to listen to more from The Morning Report, visit marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.